Our second scripture this morning is from Job again, chapter 42, beginning with verse 1. Hear the word of God. Then Job answered the Lord, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? I did not understand things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you declare to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." This is the word of the Lord. Who is this God we worship? Almost a month ago, we addressed the issue of how people tend to put God into nice, neat boxes. Some look at God as though he were a great scorekeeper in the sky, weighing our good deeds against our bad. Some see God as a kind of doting grandfather overlooking our misdeeds and saying, "Boys will be boys, girls will be girls." Still others understand God to be a divine watchmaker who winds up the universe and then lets it run by itself. But Scripture presents an entirely different picture of God. Two Sundays ago, we considered the vision given to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And we observe that God is totally holy. Last week we examined the absolute beauty of God, especially his beauty as revealed in creation. Who is this God that we worship? Today we consider the wonderful vision given to the patriarch Job and learn that God is mysterious. Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The universe in which we live is beautiful and exciting, but especially it is mysterious. The universe abounds in amazing, unexplainable things. Scientist Gunther Stent says that all around us are endless wonders and inexhaustible puzzles. He declares, "The deeper that science delves into these realities, the more paradoxes are encountered. How wonderful is our home, this universe, how filled with awesome and endless mystery." Once Albert Einstein was having a conversation with his friend Dr. Chaim Chernovitz. They walked along a wooden path, and their talk drifted back and forth from profundities about the nature of God, the universe, and humanity, to lighter questions such as, "What a wonderful day it is." Suddenly, Einstein lifted his head, looking up toward the heavens, and said, "We know almost nothing about the nature of things, the basic nature of things. That we shall never know. It will always remain a mystery." Today, despite our advances in science and technology, the universe in which we live continues to remain full of mystery. Wherever new discoveries are made, new questions arise. Whenever new solutions are found, new problems suddenly are confronted. There seems to be an unending succession of new wonders, surprises, puzzles, as we advance in our knowledge of our cosmic environment. Consider some fairly recent scientific discoveries. Consider the questions that they raise. Science has learned that in space there are black holes. You've heard that term. A black hole is defined as matter that has fallen in on itself through the force of gravity. But if that is a black hole, matter fallen in on itself, wouldn't it still be matter, only just compacted together more tightly? How can it be a hole? Scientists find it difficult to explain. It is a mystery. Science tells us also that light is a continuous wave, and yet a collection of tiny individual particles. But doesn't light have to be one thing or the other? How can it be the same, a smooth, continuous wave, and a collection of separate particles that act individually? Scientists can only sigh and say that their evidence shows it to be that way. The nature of light is a mystery. Recently, it was reported that scientists at the European Center for Particle Physics in Geneva, Switzerland, used a particle accelerator to shoot a swarm of subatomic particles called neutrinos into the Swiss Alps. 450 miles away at the Grand Sasso Laboratory beneath Italy's Apennine Mountains, the neutrinos arrived, but they arrived a split second faster than a beam of light would have. Astrophysicist Adam Frank declares, "It's like something being shot before the trigger is pulled. Those neutrino particles moving faster than light were essentially moving backwards in time." Newsweek magazine comments, "If true, this experiment would be evidence for the complete upending of modern physics." One year ago, in the July 24th issue of Time magazine, in an article written by Jeff Kluger, we are told that a team of quantum researchers recently found physical evidence for the scientific theory of entanglement. This finding has dazzled the physics community. The theory of entanglement states that two proton particles can become partnered in such a way that even if placed at the very ends, opposite ends of the universe, they both can experience a change in their vibration instantly. If that is so, then how can that be? It means that there's communication, there's transformation, faster than the speed of light, yes. As though there's some organic composition that unites the universe with a change on one end, making a change on the other. It's a mystery. A Greek philosopher once said, "The more I know, the more I realize I don't know." And this, in the same way, the more knowledge about the universe we gain through science, the more we realize how little we know about the mysteries of reality. Before the universe, we must stand in awe. We must stand in bewilderment. It's too much to comprehend. And that, I imagine, is how Job felt in our scripture this morning. During the last few years of his life, Job had met with catastrophe. He had lost his sons, his daughters, his cattle, his house, his remaining riches, and even his health. His wife said to him, "Curse God. Die." And Job's friends were not much better help to him, for they accused him of some secret sin and unwillingness to repent. Job was weighed down with sorrow. The trouble he bore was too much for him to endure. And so he cried out to God, saying, "Come to me, God, answer my questions. Why must I suffer like this? The surprise of the story is that God did come. Our scripture says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?'" What is truly strange about that scene is that God, instead of answering Job's questions about his suffering, begins to ask Job about the mysteries of creation. God says, "Job, who laid the foundations of the earth? How is the sea contained? Where does light and darkness come from? How are snow and hail made? Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Do you know the time when wild goats can bring forth? Can you make the hawk fly or the eagle mount up with wings?" Job was being examined, and he didn't know the answers. Have you ever had a bad dream about coming to the time of a final exam and suddenly realizing that you didn't know any of the answers? What a terrible feeling that produces. Job was facing his final exam before God, and how terribly ignorant he felt. He didn't know a single answer. And so the patriarch stood in abject bewilderment. He didn't understand the mysteries of God's creation. It was too much for him to comprehend or to explain. Why did God approach Job in this manner? Why didn't the Lord answer Job's question about his trouble and terrible suffering? Perhaps God was saying to Job, "If you can't understand the mysteries of creation, which are basic and elemental, how then could you possibly understand the deeper mysteries involving my purpose and human difficulty and suffering? Oh, Job, you cannot possibly understand. My answers are too profound for your mind." Intuitively, instinctively, Job understood God's message. In Job chapter 40, Job responded to God with these words, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I had spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." And again in chapter 42, the patriarch declared, "I know, O Lord, that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I have uttered what I understood not. I said things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." How many times have you felt like raising your fist to heaven? How often have you felt like saying to God, "Why am I suffering like this?" Or, "Why do I have to suffer this terrible tragedy? How can you be good? How can you be wonderful, O Lord, when you allow such trouble to happen to me? Answer me, Lord. Answer." But how can God answer us? How can He reveal to us the mysteries of suffering and evil when we can't understand, even with the aid of our modern science, the elemental mysteries of creation? As we ponder the universe, considering its infinities and endless mystery, we should be humble before our Maker. We should be willing to accept and to trust Him. What is given to us, what you and I have to endure, that we should receive with patience, waiting upon our redeeming Lord, groaning in anticipation for the revelation of the sons and daughters of creation. And so, in the vision of Job, we gain indeed a valuable insight. We learn something about God Himself, that He is profound and mysterious, that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways than our ways. We learn to see ourselves in proper perspective and to learn to trust, to be patient, and to wait upon God. Let us bow in prayer. O Lord, forgive us for often being so presumptuous. Forgive us for coming before you like Job to demand answers, answers that if given, we would not understand. Help us to trust you, to trust in your infinite and sovereign purpose. Let us cast our lives upon your grace and mercy, knowing that in Christ, our loving Savior, you are working in all things to bring forth what is good. Through Christ we pray. Amen.